Right now, I'm joined in the studio by Sherry Connable. She's with the local chapter of Code Pink here in Santa Cruz. I'm also joined by Jan Harwood of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom and the Raging Grannies, as well as David Hoffendahl. He and his 16-year-old son were among 10 of those arrested on Tuesday, June 26th, at the anti-war rally at the Army Recruitment Center in Capitola. And I'm very pleased to be joined by all three of you today. Hello.
Hello.
Thanks so much for coming in. So two of the folks in the studio, Jan and David, were arrested on Tuesday, and Sherry was one of the organizers who was not arrested that day. She had some family in town and had to bow out of that. So why don't we start off with you, Sherry, again, of Code Pink in the local Santa Cruz chapter. Can you just explain how this idea for this protest came to be, who organized it, and what the purpose of it was?
Well, we've been really active, as I think most folks know, ever since prior to the invasion of Iraq. And we have a regular Friday vigil every week in Santa Cruz from 5 to 6. Right now it meets at the town clock, and one of the folks who's been coming really regularly, whose name is Russ and sang the J.D. Martin song, came up to me maybe 3 months or so ago and said, "Why is it that we aren't doing CD in Santa Cruz? We're doing everything else, and why is it that such a liberal and sort of on-the-edge town is not engaging in civil disobedience?" So this question has been asked before, and it seemed like folks weren't ready, so we said, let's ask it again. And he called some folks he knew, and I called some folks I knew, and we put together a meeting. And Jan and David were two of those original people, and we just started moving forward with what would we do, where would we go, what would be our purpose. And out of about, 3 months of steady meetings and reflection and talking together, we came up with an action at the recruiting center, which wasn't quite what we had planned, but I think we improvised well, we were flexible, and that it really got the kind of attention and press we were hoping for, and we were able to deliver some of our messages and I think have some very human and respectful interactions with the recruiters while we were there.
So would you say that your purpose was to get attention and to get press brought to this issue and to try to talk directly with the recruiters? Was that your purpose?
We definitely wanted to challenge the continuation of recruiting in Santa Cruz County, of having the young, the sons and daughters of this county sent into the jaws of the War of Iraq. We did want to do that in a way that we drew attention to it, that we hoped we could spur more public debate, get more people aware, get more people thinking about it, perhaps motivate people to become more involved. I think when we do this kind of action, we do hope that we can get it into the media and that the media will in some way reflect what it was that we were trying to do, which is sometimes tricky.
And did you feel that happened? I know there was a fair amount of media coverage. I understand it was on a couple of local television stations, as well as the Sentinel did a story, and there's been some coverage on indie media and now on free radio. So what did you feel about the coverage, the media coverage?
I actually didn't see a lot of the coverage directly. I saw the Sentinel article. I thought it was, it had some major difficulties with it in terms of what it presented, not really reflecting what was going on. I heard that the TV coverage was fairly favorable and decent. I know that what's on indie media, I think, is a really good and thorough reflection of what happened. Yeah.
So do you feel like it was a success, your plan?
I feel like
action?
It was definitely a success, totally. I think I'd like to go back and try to have another action there and a kind of more of a conversation with the recruiters.
You didn't feel that you really had much of an opportunity for that?
No, I don't think as much as we would have liked to.
And why was that? Why didn't that happen?
Well, our original hope was that we would actually be able to go into an office, and we were hoping to go into the Army office. It's a large office. We know there's usually more recruiters there at one time. And, kind of be in the office and then engage them both with prepared statements we had written with a lot of thought, and we wanted to be careful to say what we really wanted to say, and then, you know, be able to go from there to see how did they respond to those statements, and could we create common ground or couldn't we? But as everybody knows, we never got in the door. They said they were under orders not to allow us in, and they simply blockaded the door with their bodies so that we weren't allowed entry.
So you're hoping that in the future you might be able to go back and actually have more of a dialogue with them?
Yeah, I would like to see us do that.
I want to turn now to David Hoffendahl. He is, again, the father, a father of three sons, who was among those the 10 arrested on Tuesday, June 26th. And David, maybe I could start off by asking you if you feel that the planned protest was a success.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was a screaming success. I tried to, you know, keep expectation to zero. I mean, I knew that it would be, I felt a good chance it'd be empowering for me as well as my son, instead of feeling victimized. But yeah, I had no idea. On a Tuesday at noon, over 100 people, it was a success.
And why was it that you felt strongly enough to get arrested at this? What difference did you feel that was going to make over, say, just coming, protesting, and then going home?
Well, there's been a lot of folks protesting and just going home for quite some time since the Iraqi invasion, hasn't there? And, you know, this country has a pretty rich tradition in civil disobedience in the 60s. And it just felt like time. I think I could intellectualize about it, but it just seems like, you know, enough is enough. The situations have become intolerable. And symbolically or whatever, it's time to make a stand of this nature.
Now, what would you say to, there was a number of folks, not a lot, but there was a woman who was there to support the recruiters, who was inside the office, and at one point was getting very loud and yelling that, you know, you were anti-military, you were restricting people's freedom to enlist if they wish. There was a couple of young men in the office who were also very upset, who said inside the Army recruitment office that said that they were there to possibly enlist, and that they felt their freedom was being infringed upon because they had a hard time getting into the office. What would you say to people who felt that the fact that the office door got blocked, and I know that you were actually inside, so you weren't part of that, but what would you say to people who felt that this was an infringement on their freedom, that this protest was taking place and that it created some interference?
Well, basically, we are exercising our freedom of speech. Recruitment officers could pretty much get into any campus in America and exercise their freedom of speech, as you will. I don't feel that they're having too hard a time. I believe there's around $2 billion a year spent on recruitment. It looks pretty strong and steady to me. So the idea of it being interfered with for a half hour while young kids are getting in and want to register for the military, it just feels kind of weak to me. That's one thing I would say, I think, for that, to the one response of obstructing the way. Basically, it was an exercise of freedom of speech. And, yeah, this is America, you know, and I have compassion for the soldier. Trevor and I had the good fortune of getting in on invitation. Sergeant Bobo invited us in. And we spoke with him for, I would say, I'm not sure, but it was somewhere. The time was kind of funny, a half hour, hour.
How did that happen? How did you end up inside speaking with the recruiter, you and your 16-year-old son, Trevor?
We waved a brochure we got from the military.
Uh-huh.
And the brochure pretty much was a catalyst for why we were there. On the brochure, it showed a picture of a tank, the screen of a tank, with four men in the hair wire of the cannon, and the caption read, "Put your 2,436 hours of video game time to good use."
Mm-hmm.
And when we hit the door, they blocked the door. Our intention was for more people to get in so we can dialogue with recruitment officers.
You mean when you got to the door?
Yes, excuse me. When we got to the door. And I brought the brochure up, and I said, my son was sent this, and he has legitimate business. And Sergeant Bobo acknowledged that. I think that might have been, you know, he said, yeah, okay, you have business, you can get in. And what about me? I'm the father. So that's how we got in.
Mm-hmm. So I want to return in a moment. Sherry was signaling that she wanted to address the issue of infringing upon people's freedom. I would definitely want to let Sherry respond to that as well. But David, I want to ask you what happened when you spent a good deal of time, at least half an hour, inside that office that most of the protesters couldn't get into, speaking with Staff Sergeant Andrew Bobo, who is a recruiter in that office. What kinds of things were you saying to each other? What was your son saying? What was Andrew saying? What were you saying?
It was fascinating. I had no real expectation of what was going to go on. Initially, Trevor was asking him a series of questions about the nature of the contract, about the idea that anything could change. Anything a recruitment officer promises a candidate can change on any given order from the military. And at one point, Sergeant Bobo said, I know you're trying to bait me.
Mm.
And I said, no, that's not true at all. We're not trying to bait you. And I tried to put him at ease. You know, I said, as a matter of fact, I realize, you know, I know for a fact this war is based on lies. So basically, I'm telling you that your brother in arms had died for lies. I don't blame you if you despise me. I have compassion for that. But this is my First Amendment right. I'm here to speak my truth and to listen to you. And again, I think we would try to find some type of common ground. And towards the end, I really felt, I mean, if I'm going to err one way, I'd rather err towards being a naive idealist and a jaded cynic, you know? So it's like, I really felt he was a man of integrity. I really felt that he truly believed. He was like third generation military. He's an Army brat, obviously, and he went, you know, he re-enlisted four times. And I told him as much, and I said, you know, I think you're severely misguided and manipulated. And he said, I felt you're manipulated, too. And, you know, we just sort of went like that, totally acknowledging that we're not going to convince each other of anything. And then he said, it's time for us to leave. And we said, no, sir, we're here to express our First Amendment rights, and we're going to stay.
Mm. So you and your son were then arrested for not leaving the office when he told you to?
That brings up an interesting point, because the truth is, if in fact we stayed till after closing time at 5:30, then indeed we would legitimately be arrested for trespassing. But as it was, I'm not quite sure why we were arrested.
Because you were invited into
the office,
and you
yes.
weren't blocking the entrance.
And we weren't blocking the entry, yeah.
Hmm. So what are the charges? What were you arrested for? Were all 10 people charged with the same thing, and what was that?
Failure to disperse?
Uh-huh.
Trespassing.
Trespassing? Okay.
Trespassing and failure to disperse?
I thought that he did directly ask you and Trevor to leave. Is that not true?
That is true. He asked us to leave, and we didn't leave.
So I suppose that because he has the right to ask you to leave the office as
well,
the recruiter.
I'm a little confused about that, because we couldn't have been more polite, and we were out of the way for him conducting business. My understanding is that so long as we weren't interfering with business, that it was a semi-public space. So honestly, I don't know.
You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, streaming online at freakradio.org. And I'm speaking with... that was David Hoffendahl. He's the father of three sons. He and his 16-year-old son, Trevor, were arrested along with eight others on Tuesday, June 26th, at an anti-war rally that took place at the Army Recruitment Center in Capitola. And I'm also joined in the studio by Sherry Connable of Code Pink, who's one of the organizers of the protest. We'll be getting back to Sherry in a moment. She wanted to address the question of people's rights being infringed on because they were not able to get in to enlist, which actually they were inside. They did get in, so, but we'll get back to that subject. Anyway, Jan Harwood is also in here. She is with the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom and the Raging Grannies. She was one of the 10 folks arrested on Tuesday. And hello, Jan.
Hi.
Hi. So let's start off, if I may, asked you why you were there and why you felt strongly enough to risk arrest.
Well, I have done just about everything I can think of short of getting arrested to try to stop this war. Written so many letters and so many postcards and got thousands and thousands of other people to write postcards, which I mailed in to the various legislators. I have been at the vigils, I've been in parades and marches and written emails and everything I can think of, but I thought it was high time to get arrested and really show that it was important for people to stand up.
And do you think that it made a difference, or do you think that what... Because I think some of the people who were there who weren't sympathetic with the protest felt that it was... that it was kind of confrontational. And I'm wondering if you feel... What would you say to someone who felt that that was confrontational and therefore was sending a bad message?
Well, first of all, I wanted to clarify one point that David was responding to those young guys that were complaining about being kept out of the room. Mm-hmm. We let anybody go in and out that the soldiers would allow to go in and out. Mm. We definitely did not want to block the door.
So you weren't blocking the door?
No, we were not. We were keeping it from getting closed, but we weren't keeping anybody from going in and out.
So you were actually keeping it open.
That's right.
The opposite. That's blocking
right.
The door.
That's right.
Okay, so people were coming and going as they please.
In fact, Ellie Foster, age 81, with a walker and the sweetest heart in the world, just wedged herself up against the door and kept it open for 2 hours.
And what did you do during those 2 hours?
We talked to the recruiters. There was always at least one, sometimes two or three, in the doorway, and we talked to them. We read them our prepared statements, and we read several hundred names of people who have died since the war began. American soldiers and Iraqi civilians. We have we have thousands of names of Iraqi civilians, which we kind of struggled to pronounce, but we read many names. Of course, the soldiers got very bored with that, but
and you
but
sang songs.
I had the feeling that we did get through to them a little bit. I really did.
You sang songs, and mm-hmm. maybe you can describe what some of the visual, because this is a little bit hard to see. I mean, people can look at indie media and see some of the pictures, but yeah. What you were wearing aprons.
Well, the
and
grannies,
flowers.
The Raging Grannies, which are a function of WELF, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, wear flowered hats, like straw hats, and aprons, and sometimes old-timey skirts and shoes and aprons, and we try to project the idea of sweet little old ladies who are raging mad because of what's going on with our country and our government and our wars.
And do you see that as a way just to get attention drawn to the issue and to what you're
yes,
trying to say?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. We have sung our songs all over town now for 3 or 4 years. Our songs are very popular because we say what people are feeling. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I just wrote one. Would you like to hear?
Yeah, that'd be great.
We just went to jail for freedom. I can tell you that we were kind of scared. But we went to jail for freedom just to show the world how much we really cared. We are law-abiding grannies, never broke a rule at any time. But this war is nothing but mass murder, and it's not us peaceful folks who did the crime. We just went to jail for justice. We grannies know our civil rights. They can't take away our Constitution, though they hold us for 1,000 lonely nights. When the army boys commanded and police came at us with a gun, we just stood our ground and banded all together as a quiet force of one.
That was Jan Harwood, one of the 10 people arrested. And you wrote that song after the protest, after your arrest?
Yeah.
She's also one of the Raging Grannies and a member of Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. Again, one of 10 arrested on Tuesday, June 26th, at an anti-war protest that took place at the Army Recruitment Center in Capitola. Jan, you made a comment I wanted to ask you about, follow up on. You said that you felt that when you were outside the Army Recruitment Office keeping the door open and speaking with the recruiters who were actually blocking your path and not allowing you in, you read statements, pre-prepared statements, sang songs and read the names of many Iraqis and Americans who've been killed in this war.
Yes.
You said at one point that you felt that you had gotten through to them to some degree. Why did you feel that way?
Well, when we first got there, of course, they were very anxious to get rid of us because they kept saying their boss told us that they should not let anybody in, and they kept telling us to leave. And when we tried to talk to them about why we were there, they would kind of smirk and joke and talk over our heads, and they were always talking on the cell phone to the boss, and it all seemed like a big joke to them. But as the hours went on, and we read the names, and we talked about what's going on in Iraq, and got some of their views on the war, which they, you know, they're still buying all the stuff that they were told in the beginning. I guess they. Army is told that all the time, that they're trying to get rid of the people that bombed New York, you know, because that's Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda was in Iraq, and it's all such nonsense. And so we talked and talked, and then I think when we sang Bring 'Em Home, which is a very thoughtful song about bringing the boys home because of the kind of mental illness and an emotional destruction that goes on with men and women when they're in war. We sang that song. I could see them, you know, getting kind of sobered and kind of thoughtful. Mm-hmm. And so, although I doubt they would ever admit it, I think they heard that.
I actually noticed one of the recruiters seeming to almost get emotional when the arrest began, which was kind of interesting.
He did. I didn't know that because I was the first one arrested.
I could have been wrong, but that was my impression. We took a look at each other and was just kind of like, wow, this is pretty heavy. You know, all these women that are, many of whom were much older, part of the Raging Grannies, willing to get arrested, marched away with Ellie with a walker, and I mean, It was a powerful moment, I think.
Yeah.
So I wanted to return to Sherry Connable now, one of the organizers of the protest that took place last Tuesday. You had wanted to comment on this idea that some of the folks who were upset about the protest were expressing that this infringed upon their freedom of movement and freedom of expression.
Jan addressed it in part. When we got to the door, we were coming slowly down the hallway because Ellie Foster was in the lead, and she walks with a walker. And when they saw us coming, they came right to the door. They did open it, but then they just blockaded the door with their bodies, literally arms across the doorway, and said, "We are under orders not to allow anyone in today." And we challenged that, and we said, "Well, you know, we believe we have a lawful right of entry. This is a government office. It's a public office. We've come to talk to you about matters that are directly related to recruiting, and we'd like to come in." And they just repeated, "That's not going to happen. We are under orders. No one comes in today." And so, you know, there we were. What happened after that is there were people arriving who did want to have come into the office, who they thought had what they called legitimate business. And whenever that happened, we gave way and allowed that person in. And whenever anybody wanted to come out, we gave way and allowed that person out. So nobody's freedom of access to the, you know, into this office was being restricted by us. At a certain point, the police started to interact with us and ask us first. They said they were asking us personally, if we would leave the doorway so that they could close the door.
And you said you would if
and
they'd
we
let
were
you enter?
Very clear. We were very clear every time. We would be happy to leave the doorway if you will allow us into the office, but we're not going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And we said that again and again. So we did. We never blockaded the door. People who wanted, who were allowed in and out were free to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were very clear that we would be happy to leave the hallway if they allowed us into the room. But, you know, as it was, they said they're under orders. There we are. I think they really thought that we would go away in 10 minutes or so if they did that. That we would, you know, that we'd give up and go away. And that wasn't what happened. And I really agree with Jan that, you know, I feel like there was some real contact made during that time. And I think some of that was just that we did begin to engage the recruiters with sincere questions about the conduct of the war, about their role as recruiters, about, you know, and listen to their answers.
Mm-hmm.
And that set up a channel, you know, that I think they understood that they were being heard, that we weren't identifying them simply as the object, the enemy, but rather that we truly were there to have somewhat of a conversation with them. And that we had concerns that were directly related to recruiting. For instance, I asked both of the... There were two men who seemed to be basically assigned to blockading the door from their side, right? And I asked both of them, how likely is it that someone being recruited right now will be sent to Iraq? And they both said, it's almost for sure.
Hmm. I want to ask a question to all of you, so maybe you can each answer it somewhat briefly. And that is, there was almost a theme among people who were against the protests. They may not have been for the war. There was even some who said they were against the war, but against what you were doing too, who said that you're in the wrong place. This was repeated over and over when I interviewed people who were not happy about the protest, including a business owner in the building management. The guy who was the building management said he agreed with the protest, but not, he didn't think that the door, that you should have been at the door. He wanted you to move out to the front. That this is the wrong place to be addressing your concerns. That these boys just, you know, are doing their job. If they refuse to do their job, they'll go to jail. The commander-in-chief tells them what to do. They have to do it. So this is the wrong place to address your concerns. You should have been writing your congresspeople or going to the White House to express these the protest, rather than picking on our military, you know, folks that are just doing their job, just following orders. So I want to get your response one by one to that, but I also want to let folks know that the phone line is now open. If you want to call in while they answer that, I can take some calls. The number here is 831-427-3772. And maybe we'll start with Sherry and move to the left here. We'll start with Sherry and then David, and we'll hear from Jan. Okay, so Sherry, did you want to address that?
Well, all the things that people are saying that we should have been doing instead, we have done, and we've done them repeatedly. We do them very well. This was our fifth rally out in front of the Military Recruiting Center on the public street. That's a public street. It's a public sidewalk. We always have the right to be there and protest or speak our minds, whatever it is we have to say. The fact of this war in this county is that this is the place where the sons and daughters of the county of Santa Cruz are being taken into the war. And I think it's perfectly appropriate for the community to be concerned with that, and the community to want to engage a conversation about how that affects the community. And I think that is truly what we were there to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we had had a chance to read all of our statements and why we had come there, that would have been more clear to them. Mm-hmm. But since we got blocked at the door, I don't think it was ever quite as clear as it could have been if we had had that more full discussion.
What about the aspect of these boys are just doing their jobs? You know, this is something I heard over and over. It's basically a quote. These boys are doing their jobs. It's not their fault. If they refuse to follow orders, they'll go to jail.
We understand that they're doing their job, and I would have two responses to that. One is within the context of their job. I think they could make suggestions up the chain of command about how that job might be done in a way that's more honest and forthright, so that people who do come in thinking about enlistment have a better picture of what it is they're enlisting for. The other thing that we were there to assert, and this is a very hard choice, but many soldiers now have been making it, and people could go to the website Courage to Resist if you want to look at this. These are soldier resistors who have decided, you know, for different moral reasons to leave the military and do it with consequences. Our assertion is that this is an illegal war. It always has been, and therefore the order to recruit, knowing that folks are going to get sent to that war, is an illegal order, and they can and have really the duty not to follow that order. And they admitted to us that it's true that they have an obligation not to follow an order that they believe is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And so our belief is that is an illegal order, and they should simply stop recruiting in Santa Cruz County, mm-hmm. unless they can guarantee a recruit that he or she will not be sent to Iraq or to any other base that directly aids that war.
Mm. And David, what about your thoughts on this?
Well, actually, you know, I had this specific agenda, this brochure that initially enraged me. And it was from Fort Knox, and I called Fort Knox, and I wanted to talk to somebody responsible for the ad, and they wouldn't talk to me. So I guess that would have been the appropriate channel. But the truth be told, I think it was absolutely the most perfect place to address our grievances of war, because it's the nature of our culture that it's all about, you know, don't shoot me, I'm just a messenger. This is on behalf of corporate interests. And I told Sergeant Bobo as much, this isn't personal, but you do represent the military. It was the Army military that sent me this. And as a representative of the military, it is you I want to talk to. The alienation of our culture, people in opposing views. I mean, nobody talks to each other. My intention was to talk to this guy. I'm really upset by this. I want to talk to somebody. I want a face on it. He's the military.
And they're handing out those brochures there. They're handing out some pretty powerful stuff that's telling... I read through many of the brochures they had, and they're telling young people that they'll get to play with cool toys. That's a direct quote. Cool toys. They
right.
talk about... they compare it to almost to to action movies or to...
Absolutely.
Like you were saying, the video game one that you got.
There was no pretense to it.
Yeah, it's very much advertising.
Right.
It's very powerful advertising.
Right.
And so you felt, this is coming directly from this office to my sons.
Directly from Fort Knox.
But also this office is providing
through this
that
office.
Type of
oh, right. The other brochures are straight from the office. That's correct. Yeah.
So you're saying that this is an appropriate place because they're advertising to your children, your three sons?
Absolutely. I mean, look at the choice for me. I have three sons, and I get this ad, and I haven't felt such hatred in years, you know, and it's to this faceless entity, you know, that is the military. And what happened in the dialogue with this guy, I was polite, you know, I was straight with him. And it transformed that anger into one of dialogue, you know, into one of caring and compassion. What if everybody did this? What if, you know, with the people with opposing views talk to each other? I mean, why not? It's a semi-public place to go into the recruitment office and say, well, what's up with this? This is insane. I'm really upset with this. I'm here to express my First Amendment rights.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to commit an act of civil disobedience. You can leave when he asks them to. But why not? Isn't that the American way?
And that was David Hoffendahl. He and his 16-year-old son, Trevor, who unfortunately could not be here today, were arrested along with eight others on Tuesday, June 26th, and now we'll hear from Jan, who was also arrested, Jan Harwood of the Raging Grannies and Wilf. So what is your thoughts on, Jan, what are your thoughts on the idea that this is not the right place to bring your concerns, that you should take it to the president or to your congresspeople?
Well, I had a great nephew, my brother's grandson, who dropped out of school at 17, and recently enlisted in the Marines. I'm scared for him every single day. They told him he would have a wonderful career. He would learn a skill. He would make his family proud of him. They gave him every kind of reassurance that he would not be sent into war. He would be trained and stay stateside. And I know that they were lying, and I know that he can be in dreadful danger at any time now. He has finished boot camp, and I expect him to be sent any time. And I'm very scared about that. The recruiters are our only direct link to the war in this town, because there's no other government agency, as far as I know, having to do with the war, except for the post office, and that's not really directly the war. So anyway, that was the logical place for us to go, and I really can't feel bad for those young men who work there, because they are making a choice, and when they reenlist, they're keeping themselves ignorant so that they can just go ahead blindly and follow orders. And maybe they're not quite as blind now as they were then, I'm hoping.
Well, we have to wrap up this segment because we are also joined in the studio by Diane of the GI Rights Hotline, and we're expecting a call from Joe Williams, who's also with the GI Rights Hotline and who was at the rally. But I did want to end with what your plans are. Those of you, the two of you who were arrested and the others, do you plan to plead not guilty? Is there any plan as of yet how to respond to the charges that are against you?
I think we don't know yet what our response is going to be. Usually in these situations, and I've been in quite a few of them, one responds nolo contendere and gets a fine or some time on probation, some community service. I hope that that they won't try to make an example of us or something. But they were very nice to us. I have to say,
the
police were very cordial and kind and did not give us a hard time at all. So I'm hoping that their goodwill extends to what happens next.
Do you think that might have had something to do with the fact that some of you were quite in your senior year, shall
I
say?
I do think so. I do think they didn't want to hurt anybody.
Uh-huh. David, any thoughts?
Well, yes, in response to what Jan said, I believe the reason they're so nice is you should have heard the beautiful song they sang to them while we were being booked. I mean, it was great. For me, like I said earlier, I'm not quite sure what the charge is. I'm not quite sure if it really legitimately is, failure to disperse. So because of that, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to plead.
Okay. And Sherry, I wanted to ask you again. Sherry was one of the organizers of this protest that took place on Tuesday at the Army Recruitment Office. Just kind of maybe a final comment just about what you where do you go from here, and what do you feel was accomplished, and then how do you jump off from that to the next thing?
I'm hearing a tremendous amount of excitement in the community about this. I think we really did get people's attention. People feel like something happened that was significant. I think concretely one thing that's going to happen from here is we're going to do some fundraising for the possible fines involved. And hopefully we're going to have a concert not too long from now that's going to be featuring the Raging Grannies that people can come to. And I think the group has yet to come together to evaluate what we did and talk about whether or not we're going to move forward with further action. So,
how can people get involved? How can they participate in the next chapter? Or how can they support those who've been arrested, et cetera?
Well, as I say, we're going to start a fundraising drive for any fines that might be levied. We send everything out on the email network, anything that we're doing. And so I would just tell folks to watch that network.
The Santa Cruz Progressive email list?
Santa Cruz Progressive email. Stuff we do is usually announced on Indy Media. It's on all the local organization lists. So just keep watching. And then if you want to get involved, there will be a way to do that.
So check out www.indybay.org/Santa Cruz. And maybe, Sherry, you could let folks know they can sign up to that Progressive email list. Send an email to someone. Yeah, I don't know the email, sorry.
I think it's scpel-subscribe@pana.org, I'm pretty sure. scpel-subscribe@pana, P-A-N-N-A Mm-hmm. It's a local moderated list. It's local events that relate to peace and social justice. Once you're on the list, you will get all those announcements, and you'll know what's going on.
Say that email one more time that you would email.
SCPEL-subscribe@panna.org.
Subscribe at panna.org. Got it. We'll announce that again a little bit later on. Thanks so much to all three of you, to Sherry, to David, and to Jan for coming in today. Really appreciate it. Thank you.